Genesis chapter 39 this evening. Genesis 39, we're trucking right on through. We'll be done here before long. Hope you've learned a little bit along the way. That's our purpose. Last time we looked there at verses 1 through 6, and we, looked at a great truth in our day that we need. And the fact is, there in verse number 2, we find Joseph, a slave, Joseph, at the bottom of the bucket, but the Bible says that the Lord was with him. And what a great truth that God's God on the mountain, God's God in the valley, no matter where we're at. And listen, we say that, but we need to do more than say it. We need to show it and live it, because there's a world around about us that only sees the positive side sometimes and think, you know, well, if their God's that good, you know, and this, that. And when our bottom falls out, we act like the world does. That shouldn't be that way. We ought to just be able to rejoice and thank God that God's faithful and all that. So we looked at that, and also just some work ethic, I think, of Joseph in this situation, how that even in that place of a slave, he was obedient, he served, and we need to bloom where we're planted. You know, it might not always be what we want to be doing and be the way we'd like for it to be, but listen, God's the same. So I hope that was a great lesson for us to learn. And tonight, tonight's one of these lessons I believe in my lifetime, probably no greater time than these days of what we're going to look at tonight, and it's sad. And I'm going to try to be as I know we got a variance of ears in here tonight, but the topic tonight that we're going to look at is something that's destroying not only our country, but it's destroying our churches. And it's a thing of sexual sin. And so I know people say, well, we don't need to talk about that. That's the problem. Nobody's talking about it. You know, if we are supposed to live right and do right, how are you going to know how to live right and do right if we don't talk about it? And well, I'm glad we got some young folks in here this evening, but I'm glad we got some older folks, because it doesn't stop when you're old, and there's not an age limit when it starts. There must be some guarding there. So young people, I encourage you to listen tonight and let the Lord speak to our hearts. Older folks, I pray the Lord will speak to our hearts this evening. Let's begin reading this evening here in Genesis chapter 39, verse number 7. It says, "And it came to pass after these things that his master," that's Potiphar, "wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me." Verse 8 says, "But he refused." And listen, if you got something in that you can mark your Bibles, if you don't have a Bible marking pen, we still got some, but if you mark your Bibles, that's a good verse right there. He refused. And I'll say it over and over again tonight. He didn't ponder. He refused. And tonight, you play around with sin. You look at sin. You think you're immune from sin. Be careful. It'll bite you. And you need to get away from it. And we'll see more of that this evening. But when Potiphar's wife cast her eyes and made that lewd comment for Joseph to come lie with her, verse 8 says, "But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master ordereth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. Let me stop there while you're somewhat paying attention. That is a key to keeping yourself out of trouble. Listen to me, you fellas that go door knocking, us that run bus routes, us that door knock, us that does anything. I don't care if you're doing something for the church or you're just going over to neighbor's house to take back the shovel. The problem here occurred the day, and she set it up, I believe with all my heart, she set it up to put him in that position. He came into that house, and there was nobody in that house except him and her. That is a recipe for disaster. The Lord himself, now listen to me, some of you, you're thinking I'm crazy, but I'm telling you the truth. The Lord himself sent his disciples out how? Two by two. Why? Because of that reasoning. Do not put yourself in that place. At work, at church, wherever it is. Do not put yourself in that place. And we see here that's what happens. And it came to pass as she spake to Joseph, this verse 10, day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business. There was none of the men of the house therein, there within. Verse 12, and she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand, and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, see, he hath brought in a Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. We aren't going to get there tonight, but listen, that's one of the same troubles we have today. I used to tell those guys that I worked with, and it happens over and over and over again in the workplace. It'll happen on the bus routes, it'll happen in visitation. All that has to happen is for that man or that woman to say, he or she did that, and you're cooked. Well, preacher, they'll never get that to stick in court. They might not, but you done ruined your testimony. And you'll lose your job if it happens at the workplace. Seen it happen more than once. She's lying. There's nothing truthful with anything she just said. And the same thing happens today. I'm just saying there's problems. And we'll say more about it as we go. But let's pray. We'll let you be seated. Father, we love you. God, I thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. Lord, how you teach and you train. And Lord, I sure pray tonight, God, that you'd give me wisdom. Lord, I know tonight, God, that we have a responsibility to teach and to preach and, God, to lay these things out. But God, I do pray, God, that you'd help us to have that wisdom that we need tonight, God, to do it in a way, God, it would not bring hurt or shame to you. And I just ask you, Lord, if you will, God, to help us all tonight to understand this truth tonight, Lord, and how we must guard ourselves, God, in these days, Lord. And we'll thank you. We'll praise you for what you do here this evening. And we'll give you the glory for it all. For us in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You can be seated this evening. And again, I know this isn't one of those topics that, you know, it's one of these things that has to be dealt with. And again, listen to me. And again, I'm glad we got a lot of our teenagers in here because they're facing things like they've never seen before. Us older folks, we're facing things like we've never seen before. There is, and I meant to get some statistics, but I didn't take the time. I've been busy today. We'll say more about what my day was like here in just a little while at the end of the service to try to pass some information on to you. But I have looked up, and I don't remember the numbers, but in our day, there is such a problem. I mean, if you just watched a little bit of the news, of all the sexual sins that are popping up all over our country, I've said it before. You entrust your children to go to school. I don't care if it's a Christian school or a public school. It can happen either one of them. Over and over and over, we're seeing where our children are being faced and bombarded by sexual predators. And let me say this, I'm saying this again. Tonight's a very delicate place, I believe. I want to make sure we do everything just as right as we can. You might put your guard up at Walmart and protect your child. You might put your guard up at the schoolhouse and protect your child or your spouse. Let me say it that way, too. It ain't just about our children. You need to guard your spouses. This place isn't any different. We have to take everything into play. And again, that's the reason we stress to our teachers. We'll say it probably at the teachers' supper. We're going to go over just a few things. Not won't be long there either. But, you know, that's the reason we try our best to put forth. Don't ever find yourself alone with a child. I never counsel a woman by ourselves. My wife will be there or that door will be open. Why? Because I'm not going to give, I don't want anybody to think anything, and I don't want to give the devil a chance. But I'm saying you've got to guard your children even amongst what we call good people nowadays. And it's sad. It's sad that we have to think that way, but this is truth. But it's nothing new. We see what took place in the life of Joseph here. Joseph just doing his job. Joseph just going about doing what he was supposed to be doing, and wham, right out of nowhere comes this thing. And he has to deal with it. And I don't care who you are. You might be the ugliest man in here. You might be the ugliest woman in here. We're not going to vote on any one of those. I promise you, if you allow your flesh to drive your boat, you'll find yourself in sexual sin. And again, I know it's not popular, but again, the day we live in, one of the number one money, whatever you want to call it out there, in our day, is pornography. It's one of the number one leading businesses in our country. Why? Because men and women have got consumed in sexual sins. And God warns us of some things. And listen, tonight you might say, it'll never happen to me. It could happen to you. I know a preacher today that was preaching in a nursing home in Winston-Salem. If I called his name, some of you know him. He's been here twice. He was preaching. He preached a message on similar or something we're preaching tonight. And they was like, why in the world would you preach that? The next week, one of the nurses in that nursing home got arrested because he was molesting some of the old women that couldn't, you know, protect themselves. You don't have to be young. You don't have to be middle-aged. You can be anybody. We've got to learn to listen to not what the world says by no means, but to obey God. Well, preacher, that's old-fashioned. You better wake up. So, again, I want us to learn tonight. I believe, again, it's a needful thing. It's a responsibility, I believe, as a pastor. I believe it's a responsibility as our church. I believe it's a responsibility for our homes tonight that we look at matters of this nature. So we're going to just do our best to dive through and give you some things tonight to show you some things. So let's just work our way through these verses tonight. We'll point out some things. We'll give you a lot of verses towards the end of what the Bible says on some things, and then we'll cut you loose. Verse number 7 says, it came to pass after these things, and again, that's after all what we just saw there with Joseph's life, how Joseph was, again, brought to that place. He's a slave. Verse 7, it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph and said, lie with me. So we see here that Potiphar's wife made the advancement. Now, I believe there's something to be said there just about that fact. Here's a woman that had everything. Her husband was a prominent leader of that day. He had money or he wouldn't have slaves. So here's a woman that had servants. She had all the things that she wanted. She could go buy a new pair of shoes if she wanted a new pair of shoes. She probably wore the best dresses. She probably could get her hair done every week, get her nails and toes done every week. I mean, she had everything she wanted. She wasn't satisfied, was she? She wanted something that she wasn't supposed to have, and that comes from a wicked heart. There's only one thing that'll keep a man or a woman satisfied, and that's the Lord. If you're looking for satisfaction in this world, there'll never be enough money. There'll never be enough popularity. There'll never be a high enough position at the workplace. There'll never be enough gadgets or toys that you can buy or consume to make you happy and keep you content. And Potiphar's wife is sitting in a place where she, in the world's eye, man, look at all she had. But she saw something in Joseph that she knew she couldn't have it, but she wanted it. Same thing happened with Eve. God put something in front of her and told them both not to mess with it, and she messed with it. If you're not careful, your flesh will have that desire when you get away from the Word of God. When you begin to wean away from what the only thing that can satisfy, and again, that's a spiritual walk, and you begin to run out of this flesh, you're going to find yourself wanting. And here we find Potiphar's wife, she was wanting. And the Bible goes on to say there that she cast her eyes upon Joseph. Can I say this? Look at me now. There's something right now casting its eyes upon you. It might be a thing at the workplace, a thing at the schoolhouse, a thing down at Walmart, a thing over across the road. There's going to be things that cast their eyes upon you because the devil knows he can't have you. But he sure would like to mess you up. And when he casts their eyes towards you, it's a bullseye upon your back. You're trying to live for God. You're trying to serve God. You're trying to do all you think you can for God. Something will cast its eyes upon you. And then the question is, what are you going to do? You're going to be put in that place of making a decision. Just as Joseph is put into this place of decision. Here he is. And again, I don't want to make it lewd. I don't want to make it in my mind. I can just sort of picture in my mind maybe that day. Here's Potiphar's wife. I'm sure, again, she was dressed to a T. She was probably a beautiful lady. And she calls out to a young boy or a young man and says, "Hey, good looking, why don't you come over here and sit and talk with me?" He's a slave. And here she is wanting to talk to him. Temptation. Don't sit there and think it wouldn't be like that to you. So she cast her eyes upon Joseph, and again tonight there's things, and I say things because there's all kinds of things. Verse number 8 says, but he refused. Why did he refuse? He was a young man. I don't know how old he was, young man. Probably a good-looking man. Here's an opportunity that in the flesh is laid out before him, but the Bible says he refused. There's only one reason he refused. Because of God. He saw, and this is I believe this is a key tonight. I'm going to get ahead of myself a little bit. He saw sin for what sin really is. See, I believe today that we have watered out sin so much and we've painted sin up so much that sin isn't as ugly as we once thought it was. We were sitting at the house last night. I was waiting to go to bed. That's what I was doing. But the TV was on. And HGTV or whatever we was watching. I don't know which show it was. Whatever, you know, we was watching that and This situation, it was a man, a woman, his this, her that. I mean, it was all just, I was like, I can't follow this tree. I don't know who's with what and what's with who and craziness. But we've got in such a world today that, you know, it's not ugly. We got young people in here, and it's not just young girls, it's young guys too. It takes two. You know, a girl that got pregnant out of wedlock used to be an embarrassment. Not anymore. It's pretty natural in our day. People get caught in the very act of a sexual sin, and it used to be an embarrassment, but not anymore. People get caught cheating on their spouses, and it used to be an embarrassment, but not anymore. Why? Because we have allowed this world and allowed the devil to taint our hearts and our minds that sin is not what it really is. What did Joseph see about sin? Look at it. Again, I'm getting ahead of myself, but we'll draw it all back. Look at verse number 9. The very last part, he says, how then can I do this great wickedness? Oh, it's just a little sin, preacher. No, God said it's a great wickedness. And we need to get back to the fact that we realize that, and it's not just sexual sin, sin is sin. Sin is great wickedness. I don't care if it's my sin, your, you know, we always point to everybody else's sin. Theirs is always worse than ours. But no, my sin and your sin, it all stinks. So Joseph here is put in that place of decision. And again, here's a young man. Here's a probably a very attractive lady that's making these advances to him. And again, it's not, it doesn't have to always be, it doesn't have to be the actual encounter of a sexual sin. It could be what you're watching on the internet. That lust of the flesh. That thing you're watching on TV. How much is too much? Spurgeon said this: obedience is much easier when we know who God is. He says, when I regarded God as a tyrant, I thought sin a trifle. That when I knew him to be my father, then I mourned that I could ever have kicked against him. When I thought that God was hard, I found it easy to sin. But when I found God so kind, so good, so overflowing with compassion, I smote upon my breast to think that I could ever have rebelled against one who loved me so and sought my good. See, Joseph here is placed in that position of decision, and he makes the decision and he refuses to entreat what was put in front of him. And he goes on to say, and verse 9 says, there's no, as he's playing out this in front of her, as he's telling her, no, there's no greater in this house than I, neither have I kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How can I do this great wickedness? And then notice, and sin against God. You want to know what will keep us from getting into the place of allowing ourselves to sin? To allowing ourselves to walk into this mess of sexual perversion and of our day? If we'll realize that when we sin, we are committing a wicked thing against God himself. Joseph realized it wasn't about Potiphar. It wasn't about Potiphar's wife. It was a fact that if he did what was put in front of him, it would be a great wickedness and a sin against his God. So tonight, do we see sin for what sin is? Hold your place here in Genesis and let me show it to you again. Look over in Psalms 51. David, after he's committed his great sin. Listen to his heart. Psalms 51, David here says, I have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. See, I think David, again, we know David sinned. He took Bathsheba there and sinned, and a whole different story we could talk about through that. But here I believe he's to that place where Spurgeon makes this statement about how we see God. And David's heart here is reminded of how good God really is. And David here is crying out, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquities and cleanse me from my sin. Verse 3 says, "For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned." See that? See tonight, young person, tonight, adults, tonight, whoever you are here this evening, we need to realize as we go through our life that when we do things, what we're doing. We looked last week as we looked at Joseph's life and the fact that the Lord was with him. And tonight, if you're saved, if you're truly born again and you commit adultery or fornication and you walk out into that life there, you're taking God right with you. And that's the reason David here says, "Against thee and thee only." It's the reason Joseph said it was a great witness, and how could he sin against his God? Tonight, we need to realize that's the same God that we serve. Now listen, there's nobody in here immune. It happens from the pulpit, happens from the pew, if you allow your flesh the opportunities. Joseph had his eyes on the Lord, I believe, and it kept him in line. It kept his mind and his heart on where God was taking him, and he didn't get drawn away by the fleshly lust and temporary lust, but he kept his eyes on the prize that God had done in his life and what God was going to do in his life. And we this evening need to keep our eyes on the Lord and not get drawn away by a carnal, temporary lust. Again, the Bible calls it exactly what it is, a great wickedness. And again, we've read through the story. We know that life goes on. And let me just throw these out here. I got a few more things, and then I'll give you some verses. Back over in Genesis, look with me. She makes that encounter, and he says he refuses, and he calls it great wickedness and a sin against God. Verse 10 says, "And it came to pass as she spake to Joseph," notice, "day by day." Boy, wouldn't it be good tonight if the preacher would get up here and tell you a lie that once you say no, you'll never have another problem? That'd be exactly what it was, a lie. She didn't let up. Every day, Joseph had to go in and out of that place doing his job, trying his best to keep his eyes on the Lord. Day by day, she flirted with him. Day by day, she enticed him. Men, ladies, it'll be the same for us. Every day you've got to go out with the whole armor of God upon you. You've got to go out here with your eyes straight on God, not looking to the left or to the right, not getting enticed by the things that you see. And listen, we're all made out of the same stuff. If David could do it, Joseph could do it, I could do it, you could do it. We've got to guard ourselves. Day by day, it says, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house therein. And again, let me say it again. Do not, do not, do not, do not, do not, do not, do not put yourself into that place. You're crazy if you do. "Well, preacher, but I'm out there trying to win them to the Lord." Wonderful, but you better stay outside their house. Let me say this. Remember what God said in the very beginning? It wasn't good for Adam to be alone. It ain't good for us to be alone. You'll find, if people would be honest, most people won't. If you'll be honest with yourself right now, you'll have more trouble fighting temptation when you think you're alone than any other time in your life. When you think nobody else will know. Can I tell you something? God knows. And you know. Verse 11, it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. Verse 12 says, and she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. We'll say more about that thought of fled there in a minute, but let me go ahead and throw it out there while we're reading the verse. You know what that means? That don't mean play with a snake. That don't mean just take your time and whistle your way as you go out the door. It means to run. You see all these things on TV when a bomb goes off, you see all them people running. That's what flee means. There's danger, get out of there. But then I like also how this verse reads. I've underlined this myself in my Bible. It says, his garment in her hand and fled. And notice this last part of that verse in verse 12. And got him out. You know who got Joseph out of that situation? Joseph got Joseph out of that situation. You and I must take on the accountability of the vessel that God has given us. Joseph got himself out of that place. He fled. Look, friend, tonight you must get a hold of yourself. Take your vessel and get out when those things come into your beings. It's your responsibility. Don't wait till it's too late. Don't wait till you get caught. Flee and get yourself out of it. I want to assure you tonight, as real as can be, you will be tested. Temptation will knock on your door. You're going to be tempted to look. You're going to be tempted to touch. You're going to be tempted to talk. At work, at school, and even at the church house. The question is what you'll do. Look over in 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians chapter 10, look at verse number 12. God knows us. Listen to what he says. 1 Corinthians 10, 12 says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Don't sit here tonight and think you got control. Don't sit here and think that you'll never find yourself down that path. Read on verse number 13. The Bible says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. If David fought it, you're going to fight it. If I fight it, you're going to fight it. There's no temptation taken, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Did Joseph get tempted? Hello? Sure he did. He refused it. There was a way out. And you might tell yourself, and you might tell your mom and daddy, and you might tell everybody else, I didn't have a choice. Don't tell me that, because I'll probably call you a liar. Because God said you did have a choice. And let me say, and again, I know bad things happen. It's not what I'm saying. You've heard me say it before. You know where every drunk starts? One drink. And I promise you that if we could really be honest, we'll find there's a path that this just didn't happen last night. This thing, slowly and surely, you've been cracking that door to allow whatever that situation is to come into your life. I promise you, if you'll never let it come into your life, you won't have to deal with it when it gets to that place. So the question is not if you'll be tempted or tried, but the question is what you'll do. What will you do with that great wickedness when it knocks on your door? But you need to understand it's a fact. So what do you do? That's the question. What do you do? I want to give you some things, again, several scriptures tonight. We'll move quickly through them. I'll spend a little bit of time right here on the very first one because I believe that this first one's a key to most of it. How do you guard against things of this nature happening in your home? Here we see a wicked woman making advances on one of God's men. We know that the devil is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. We know the Bible tells us that we should know his devices. We know he has a tackle box full of lures. He'll constantly be throwing something out to see if he can get your attention a little bit. He'll try this jig, he'll try that jig, he'll try this, he'll try that. How do you guard against that? If the devil will do all that to try to get your attentions, and this is probably going to apply mainly to our married folks tonight, but I believe young folks, you can get a hold of this too. If the world and the devil try all they can to grab your attention, you know how to guard your marriage, folks? You do more. The best way to keep this temptation from finding its way into your home is to make sure the home fire is still burning. When you don't tell your wife you love her and how pretty she is, you used to tell her that, or she would never have married you. But now you've been married, we'll use me and you, 26 going on 7 years. If I don't tell her that I love her, that she's beautiful, I promise you, now mark it down. If I don't tell her the things that she needs to hear, I promise you the devil will put somebody in her path that will. But if I tell her, that knucklehead will never have an opportunity to tell her because she's hearing what she needs to hear from the one she needs to hear it from. We have a friend. Me and her, my wife, have a friend. We used to date with them, double date. Their kids were born about the same time our children were born. We did everything together. Now we don't. Their marriage busted up. Sad. Can I tell you what happened? Truth. I'll never tell you their names, but you can ask her. She'll say, yeah, that's truth. They wanted to build a house, so he changed jobs. He went to second shift to make more money. She used to stay home with the kids, but they needed more money, so she decided to get a job. She was working first shift. He was working second shift. Never saw each other. And then a devil himself that was old enough to be her daddy began talking to her. I can't believe your husband don't do this, don't do that. Well, she was thinking, I can't believe my husband don't do this or do that. I wouldn't do that to you. That's what the old devil will do. Old devil, and I'm not giving devil, I shouldn't give the devil credit. This old fleshly world that's run by the devil, that's what they'll do. They'll start whispering all those things that they know you want to hear. And it wasn't long till that old devil stole her. And that home was busted. All because the home fires wasn't burning. You want to guard against this coming into your life? You want to guard this from happening in your marriages? You better keep it up. You better keep saying, I love you. You better keep doing all those little things you used to do. Because if you don't, I promise you, the devil will have somebody. Can I say this? This applies to everybody. I thought about this. I've said this before. I'll run this rabbit this way and bring it back around. Us fat people. I didn't say you fat people. I said us fat people. Have you ever noticed when they do the commercials on TV about some diet or exercise machine? I've never seen a fat slob that looked like me on any of those bicycles or treadmills or... Have you? They always have some guy that he didn't get looking like he got by running on that treadmill. I promise you. What are you saying, preacher? It ain't real. Now look at me. You're going to fade out on me. This garbage on TV, it ain't real. These people don't look that way. I'm not the greatest in Photoshop, but I can make things look different with Photoshop. And if somebody as dumb as I have that's taught himself Photoshop, these people that really know Photoshop, they can make me look skinny. It ain't real. But we get disgruntled in our lives, in our marriages, in our relationships, and we see this stuff on TV and you think, well, why can't we have a house like that? Because they don't have one either. Ladies, I got to hit this. I don't throw books at me yet. I used to get on to my mama. I don't remember what them stupid books were called. What? Harlequin? A Harlequin. It's a horror show. What's it called? Harlequin. You see, y'all know all about it. Y'all get those Harlequin, however you say it. Preacher, I like reading it. It's garbage. You're putting something in your head that will never be real. You're not going to have a guy 7 foot tall, built like a muscle man riding in on a white horse. It's not going to happen. It's not real. But you read that stuff. You watch it on TV. I got to hit this one too. Some of the garbage you listen to on the radio. I used to be a country music person back in the high school days. All their songs about cheating with somebody or doing this or doing that. It's every song is the same. It might have a different beat. It might have a few different words. But it all rolls right back around to some kind of sexual sin and alcohol and drugs. But you listen to that stuff, you read that stuff, you watch that stuff, and you're opening your heart for that devil to say, aha, and that their eyes will be cast upon you. And before long, your marriage will be on the rocks. Your relationship between parent and child will be on the rocks. All over something that's not real. Fellas, it's getting ready to be summertime. People's clothes will be flying off. You better guard yourself. We laugh and grin and snicker about it, but you better put the guards on. Lust will destroy you. How do you guard it? You better keep the home fires burning. Constantly, if the world is trying to knock their way in, you better constantly be saying greater and bigger and better things. Let's look at some verses real quickly. Look in Proverbs. Several of them in Proverbs tonight. Proverbs chapter 22 this evening. Again, take heed lest you fall. Proverbs 22 this evening. Look at verse 14. Proverbs 22:14 says, the mouth of strange women is a deep pit. He that is abhorred of the Lord shall fall therein. Better be careful. The things that they say, the flirtings, the kindnesses, those things are nothing but their way of talking you right into a pit. That's the way it works. Look at Proverbs chapter 2. Gotta hurry. Look at verse number 11. Proverbs 2, chapter or verse number 11 says, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh forward things, who leave the paths of unrighteousness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the forwardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and forward in their paths, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger, which flattereth with her words, which forsake the guide of her youth, and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. Be careful where you go. Be careful what draws your attention. Anything that gets you away from the truth of the Word of God, you better throw the flags up. It cannot be good. It will not be good. And before you know it, you'll be far away from where you ever thought you would ever be. Again, you might say it'll never happen. But God says it will happen. When you leave the truths of the Word of God and begin to follow after wicked men and women, and it'll drag you off into that place. Notice where it leads. Verse 18, her house inclineth unto death, her paths unto the dead. Notice the cost. Verse 19, none that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. Over and over and over, I've seen good people lose all they had for a small speck of time of fleshly lust. I guarantee you they say now it's not worth it. Wish I never went there. Wish I'd never done it, but it's too late now. Look at Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs chapter 5, look at verse number 3. For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb. Listen, don't sit here and say, oh, I don't see that. Are you blind? The Bible even says there's pleasure in sin for a season. When you sit there and think, oh, no, you better be smart and say, oh, yeah. Lips of a strange woman drop as honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. Ah, honey, I would never treat you that way. He don't love you. He don't care about you. Listen, where's that coming from? Her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. Boy, they never thought it was heading that direction when they were just flirting around. Verse 6, lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life. Her waves are movable that thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. That's the reason it's so important, moms and dads, to teach our children the truth of the Word of God. Instill it in their hearts. Hear now, therefore, ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her. Flee. That's what Joseph did. Remove thy way far from her. It's going to bite you. Get away from it. Oh, preacher, but it's cute. It's just a little thing. It'll bite you. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house. Don't even go that way. If you know you got a problem with this part, whatever it is, or something on TV, something on the internet, somebody at work, stay away from it. Don't even go that way. Because you're just opening the door for something bad to happen. Remove thy way far from her, verse 8, and come not nigh the door of her house, lest thou give thine honor unto others. And thy years unto the... Read the verse again. Verse 7. Lest thou give thine honor unto others. She's mine. I'm hers. If I give myself to somebody else, it's taking it away from where it's supposed to be. See what I'm saying? And when we have lustly flesh desires over something we see or something we hear or whatever it might be, you're robbing your spouse from what's supposed to be theirs. Young people, look at me. God has a man or a woman just for you. When you give yourself over to the lust of your flesh to somebody other than who's going to be your husband or your wife, you're robbing that person of you. You're right, preacher. That's what the Bible just said. Lest thou give thine honor unto others and thy years unto the cruel. Verse 10, lest strangers be filled with thy wealth and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. Verse 11, and thou mourn at last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed. And say, how have I hated instruction and my heart despised reproof? And have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. Do you see what he's saying? He's thinking, oh, how did I ever get to here? I knew better. That preacher tried to warn me. That teacher tried to warn me. God, through his word, warned me. My mom and dad warned me. How did I get here? That's what he's saying. Verse 13, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear, them that instructed me. This is sad, verse 14. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and the assembly. Exactly. He said, even sitting at the church house, nobody knew what I was watching. Nobody knew what I'd been doing. People play church. Oh, how I love Jesus. And rotten to the core. That's what he's saying. Even in the midst of the congregation and the assembly, just coming to church ain't going to guard you. Look at Proverbs chapter 6, or verse 23. Proverbs chapter 6, look at verse 23. Now get verse 23. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Verse 24. For what purpose? To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids, for by means of a whorish woman a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. I've seen some of those hunters. I've seen them in our church. What do you mean, preacher? I've watched as young men come in to hunt out some of our young girls. They're devils. They're not here because they love God. They're here because they're trying to hunt out a young girl. I've seen young girls do the same thing. They don't have the love of God. They have the love of their flesh. And they lust after a boy. So they goo-goo and ga-ga in his presence and make a total fool of themselves. They're hunters. Tony, what do we do when we hunt? We kill. I enjoy sitting in the deer stand, enjoy watching the sun come up, enjoy doing some Bible reading, but my whole intention, the reason I got out of bed to sit in a tree in the cold winter, is to kill something. And that's what a hunter does. And we as parents, we as teachers, we as preachers, we must get back to the place that when we see a hunter, we run them off. You don't have a license to be here. You're not welcomed here. No hunting in this place. Oh, preacher, that's mean. All right, let me let some snakes loose at your house and put you to bed and see if they're going to bite you. Well, that's different. No, it's not. You've got to guard. You've got to guard. You've got to guard. Verse 26, for the means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread. Can you see her? Come on. Come on. Come on. Leading him right into that whorish house that leads to death. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought into a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Mom and Dad, is your young as precious? I hope you say yeah. Is your wife precious? Is your husband precious? I hope you say yeah. Then be aware. There's somebody out to get them. Look on real quickly. Then there's a question. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? If I showed you a volcano, picture that in your mind. If we could look down in a volcano and see all that fire of molten mess that's just moving and splashing and exploding fire, you think, boy, there's no way a man could survive that. Right? Well, then let me ask you one thing. My wife can answer this. We was driving these fence posts out here the other day. I didn't know what was wrong with her. I was driving. She was holding. All of a sudden, she's, thing's burning me. I was like, what's burning you? Where I was hitting the top of that post, it was breaking off little pieces of that metal, and it was dropping down onto her. I mean, just itty-bitty little pieces, but it burnt her. It doesn't have to be a roaring volcano. The smallest of an ember in your pocket will burn you. That's the reason the problem's not so much at what we call the worst part of a problem. It started out as that small little ember got into your pants, began to burn, and it's just built up to now it's a fire. Don't let that little ember ever get there. When I was in the fire department, I'd never been around these guys much. We had a big, big, big brush and woods fire. They called in those smoke jumpers and all those guys are, they're workmen. Man, I've never seen anybody. I mean, we're out there doing lazy man firefighting. I was talking to those guys. They went to this area with mattocks and began to chop, not with a tool behind a tractor, with a mattock, and began to chop up every bit of that ground, and said because if they didn't turn over any root that had a little bit of fire in it that was left inside of that ground, would sit there and burn and burn and burn until it caught that whole place back on fire again. You might not think it's that big of a deal, but if that thing sits in your heart and burns and burns and burns and burns, I promise you, one day it's going to erupt. How? It's on the news all the time. We see pedophile after pedophile after pedophile. For the life of me, I cannot understand. Well, preacher, they're sick. But how did they get that way? I don't pretend to know their mind. But I promise you, they didn't wake up one day and say, that's what I'm going to do. Somewhere in the deepest, the darkest of their life, they were watching and seeing and doing things that led them to that finally. It exploded out to that point. Don't sit here and think that you're going to hold this thing back, that you're going to keep it hid. It will burn you. That's what God's saying here. I got to read this one. Proverbs 7. There's so much in Proverbs 7 that can be said. Let me read it to you. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law is the apple of thine eye. See, that's the key tonight, church. Joseph refused because he loved God. Verse 3, bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement, and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths, a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black, in the dark night, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot, and the subtle of heart. She was loud and stubborn, her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now is the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him. See, she's a hunter. She wasn't out there to do good, she was out there to do bad. She caught him. Verse 13, and kissed him, and with an impudent face, and said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows, therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with love. See, what's she doing? Enticing. Drawing. For the good, look at this. For the goodman is not at home. He has gone a long journey. He hath taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. With her much fair speech she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hastens to the snare and knoweth not that it is for his life. Didn't he realize what he was doing was going to kill him? Verse 24, hearken, unto me now, therefore, O ye children, attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths, for she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is a way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. That's what this is out there. But over and over and over and over, it's not the world, it's the church that's being destroyed because we're ignorant. We don't realize that it's a great wickedness and it's a sin against God. And don't go there. What does God want? Let me give you this and we'll be done. Look in 1 Thessalonians. First Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 3 says, for this is the will of God. It's not that hard to find the will of God. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. That's what God said. His will is that you abstain from fornication. That every one of you, that's all of us, should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. God says it's his will that you abstain from fornication, that you should know how to possess your vessel. He says that he wants you to control yourself. How did Joseph flee? He got himself out. It's up to you to flee. It's up to you to get out. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 22 says, 2 Timothy 2:22 says, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strives, and to serve the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, and meekness instructing those that oppose themselves of God. Peradventure will give them repentance to the knowledge of the truth. Flee. Flee. Don't hang around it. Don't entertain it. Run. That's what it says. Two more places. Look at 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18. We find it again. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Verse 19. Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. How did Joseph refuse? Because he knew that it was a sin against God. Last place, Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4.
Bible says in Ephesians 4, verse 26, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Verse 27 says, neither give place to the devil. If you don't, or if you're not there, it ain't gonna bother you. Don't go there. Don't entertain it. Flee it. So, again, a lot more could be said. A lot more probably needs to be said. The truth is that you're going to be tempted. You're made out of the flesh. Your flesh will lust. Don't sit here and think you got it under control. It might not be an outwardly part yet. It might be an innerly thing now. But I promise you that things are growing. It's eating. It's gnawing. What you're doing today might not. And again, I don't know anything about anything sometimes when it comes to stuff like this. But I've talked to a lot of men. They used to drink one beer. Then they figured out one beer wasn't enough, so they had to drink two beers. And then two beers wasn't enough, so they had to drink six beers. And then six beers wasn't enough, so you had to get 12. 12 wasn't enough, so you had to get a suitcase. Suitcase wasn't enough, so you had to go to liquor. Liquor wasn't enough, so you had to go to drugs. Why? Your flesh is always wanting more, more, more. Never satisfied. I'm glad I can say tonight I've learned to be content with Christ. He's all I need. What will happen when you're placed in that place of temptation? It's coming. Remember what sin is. It's a great wickedness. And it's not a sin against your daddy or your mama or the preacher. Sin against God. I hope that we'll guard ourselves. Learn from these things. Again, Joseph should have never been in that place by himself. I'm telling you, don't go there. Don't give the devil an inch. Guard, guard, guard. Let's stand together this evening.